what is biblically portrayed as the judgment is drawn from each person's own etheric field/mind, which is a perpetual record of that person's past actions, that is, do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows, Gal 6, 7 NIV. And this etheric negative connection remains, until totally satisfied as stated. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. What each person has failed to accomplish will mold the future lifetimes that their soul is born into. And this is why Rabbi Yosefan said that the 6 million Jews who were Holocaust victims were reincarnations of the souls of sinners, people who transgressed and did all sorts of things that should not be done. Rabbi Yosefan explained that these souls who had previously lived lives of sin had been reincarnated in order to atone, see chickens come home to roost. And this is why the church father Origen explained with respect to why God hated Esau but loved Jacob, even before they were born, that consequently every vessel, according to the measure of its purity or impurity, received a place, or region, or condition by birth, or an office to discharge, in this world, that the cause of each one's actions is a pre-existing one, and then everyone, according to his deserts, is made by God either a vessel unto honor or dishonor. Therefore, every individual vessel has furnished to its Creator out of itself the causes and occasions of its being formed by Him to be either a vessel unto honor or one unto dishonor. See the early church on predestination. The record of the soul that determines whether each person is born into this world, either a vessel unto honor or one unto dishonor, is contained in each person's etheric field/mind, and it is our own past actions that forms the life that we live at the present, as well as in the future, that is, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows, Gal 6, 7 NIV, and that modern Christians are ignorant of the causal factors that determine each person's life that they are born into is because they have adopted and embraced the man-made doctrines of Roman emperors. See the 10 reasons why the church rejects the pre-existent soul. When Jesus healed by making the person whole, he eliminated and dissipated the negative connections in that person's etheric field/mind that inhibited them from progressing in the way. That these negative connections often result in physical disease and maladies is because these negative connections not only interfere with the flow of vital life force, but drain the person of necessary energy needed to bring about the expansion of the mind through negative connections to others. This can be seen from a sexual perspective in the example of the woman at the well who could not receive the living waters due to the fact that she did not have a husband. See woman at the well. Her connection to 5 other men was easily seen and detected by Jesus in her etheric field/mind. Moreover, because she was anchored to 5 men and could not therefore even have a husband, her lifestyle and mindset inhibited her from receiving the living waters of the Spirit. See Lilith, the demonic reality of the modern feminist movement. And it was for this very reason with respect to connections in the etheric field/mind that anchored people to this world, that Jesus condemned even looking on another person who is not your spouse with lust, that is. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Matt 5:27-28 NKJ. See Divine Pattern. The reality that Jesus attempted to portray in what was taught in the Sermon on the Mount goes far beyond man's concept of sin and indebtedness. While there are ways to bring about a lessening of the influences in these etheric attachments in order to provide a degree of freedom and slash or healing for a person, organic man tends to see all things in reverse in a reflected image, and what man sees as sin would more correctly be understood as a corrective and testing action of the laws. When Jesus warned the man, "Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee," John 5:14 KJV. If the man did not keep constant vigilance on his thoughts and actions, then he would very quickly become re-entangled, and very quickly even. A worse thing would come unto thee. Why? Because the objective of the laws are not to punish, but rather, to test, correct, to perfect, and make whole. If someone is entangled and suffocating or drowning, then freeing them from what is inhibiting them can have a great beneficial effect. If someone in our modern culture becomes enslaved to credit card debt, and they receive help in freeing themselves from this debt that enslaves, then they are often able to overcome the circumstances in the future that enslaved them in the past. An alcoholic very quickly learns that even one drink can re-enslave him. A person addicted to smoking knows that he will lose the struggle to quit by taking that first cigarette. Where a normal person could have only one glass of wine, an alcoholic comes to learn that his addiction is reignited with that first glass. Moreover, sexual and other addictions begin in our thoughts, and while a person who is free and whole can simply dismiss these thoughts, a person who has in the past opened the door to these vices in many instances has to struggle to remain free of them. Man's vices are often the product of imbalances and lack of wholeness. Thus, Jesus said, "Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more." And it is these imbalances of mind and body that disrupt wholeness and strangle the person with the vices and addictions to the appetites of the flesh, bringing about the condition where the person is ruled over by their lower animal nature. And while it is good to be set free from what impedes and enslaves us, it is also guaranteed that we will have to confront our mental, psychological, cultural, or spiritual nemeses in the future. Why? Because everything in the outer world represents an aspect of mind that we must perfect within ourselves as we strive to become whole and complete. Every human appetite has a higher expression that balances the lower nature and makes it our servant and foundation. And we cannot build the house and the final temple while lacking completion and wholeness. And thus, we are not tested to see if we will sin, but rather, to gain mastery over that aspect of mind which is represented in the forms and images, symbols of the outer reflective world. In this realm of the womb of Mother Earth, we are working on expanding and evolving the mind by interacting with what appears to be physical objects and interactions with other people, but in reality, what we interact with in the outer world represents aspects of our own mind that we are working on. One of the objectives is to leave nothing undone. An important concept which was originally stated in many places in the Gospels, at present only weakly exists. Quoting the Gospel of the Nazarenes, where this concept is expressed in many teachings in the words, "Let the law be unwritten within your own hearts rather than on tables of stone memorial. In this manner be perfect, as which things nevertheless you ought to do, and not to leave the other things undone." The reality of the phrase that, "as which things nevertheless you ought to do, and not to leave the other things undone," is of primary importance in all matters of the law and our actions. And what is being indicated is that while you are obligated to fulfill the requirements of the law, to walk in a way you must go beyond what is required, that is, "For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments, and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Matt 5:18-20 NKJ. And it is this last part that is, "that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven," must be understood within the context of, "as which things nevertheless you ought to do, and not to leave the other things undone." To even claim to believe in Jesus is to observe the law and these words in your every word, thought, desire, and deed, that is, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" Luke 6:46 and KJ. And, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Matt 7:21 NIV. With respect to the law as stated above, "Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments, and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." But because the doctrines of the church cause Christians to be lawless, they are not only blind apostates to the true spiritual meaning of the law, but they remain slaves to its shackles of entanglement. While the lives that each soul lives is determined by their past deeds, see the 10 reasons why the church rejects the pre-existent soul. Each person's spiritual condition in the present is determined by the condition of the negative and positive attachments that exist in their etheric field/mind. When Jesus warned that the multitude of people were blind to both the meaning of the scriptures, as well as their own higher soul reality that caused their inability to perceive that is, seeing they may not see, and deaf that, and hearing they may not understand, he was making reference to their present condition that existed in their etheric field/mind, that drained them of the life force inheritance of the prodigal son, and shackled them in the prison of the outer darkness of mind and being. Christians make claim to a special exemption which nullifies them from the requirements of the law that Jesus taught was absolutely binding on each individual person that is. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments, and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Matt 5:17-20 NKJ. That Christians do not at all understand the spiritual meaning of the law is because they fail to live and abide by the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount, and they reject the necessary consecrated life in the way that would transform them into the final temple. And because they have rejected the word of God that was given unto them, the Bible warns that their fate will be worse than the unbelievers. See, that is, for it is impossible to restore again to repentance those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they then commit apostasy, since they crucify the Son of God on their own account and hold him up to contempt. For if we sin deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful prospect of judgment, and a fury of fire which will consume the adversaries. Heb 6:4-6, 10:26-27 RSV. See Apostasy of Martin Luther. As Jesus himself warned, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" Luke 6:46 and KJ. Christians are incapable of understanding why the fate of the complacent believer will be worse than the unbelievers. See, because they dwell either in the prison that Jesus warned about, or in the outer darkness, which inhibits their perception of not only the spiritual meaning of the gospel, but also the higher reality of the soul and the mysteries of the kingdom, which they predicatively reject as utter foolishness. See mystery. Paul warned that it was impossible for apostate believers to perceive and understand, and his prediction has proven to be true. Conditions of one's birth. Why were you born under the conditions you were? Rich, poor, somewhere in between, your religion, your occupation, your country of origin, male or female, sexual orientation, liberal, conservative, libertarian, atheist, Marxist, environmentalist, anarchist, whatever your present station of life is, not only the manner you entered into this life was determined prior to your even being born, but the laws of God has preordained all of your choices and opportunities that have been presented to you, as if you are walking through a labyrinth where the measure of your free will is the determination of what choices you will make with the options that are presented to you. And if we inquire as to why everyone's life has been preordained and controlled by the laws of God and creation, your life is present following a syllabus which has totally scripted the life you are living, and this life syllabus was all designed and determined based upon your own previous actions, failures, and accomplishments. Thus, you have not only created the life that you are presently living that is being strictly orchestrated by the laws of God, but you are totally responsible for all events within the construct of the good, the bad, and the ugly. The Church Father Origen, who was known as the Prince of Christian Learning in the 3rd century, second only to the Apostles, writes that, "To everyone according to his merits, nor will the happiness or unhappiness of each one's birth, or whatever be the condition that falls to his lot, be deemed accidental." See, why? because there are no accidents, as the atheist and secular mindset promotes. Origen then goes on and writes with respect to each person's station in life, that the cause of each one's actions is a pre-existing one, and then everyone, according to his deserts, is made by God either a vessel unto honor or dishonor. Therefore, every individual vessel, person, has furnished to its creator out of itself the causes and occasions of its being formed by him to be either a vessel unto honor or one unto dishonor. And, as stated in the foregoing, each person's birth into this life is determined by that person's own past actions, that is, either a vessel unto honor or one unto dishonor. Or, as stated by the Apostle Paul, do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows, Gal 6:7 NIV. And this same exact message is being presented to every person today, in our own time, in the very life that they are presently living. In a number of the above subheadings, I portray this world as a living biofeedback system of laws that returns to each individual and each group on a primary and secondary level the fruit of their own actions, which means that each individual person, as well as each group, religion, school of thought, from small to that of a large nation, the plight and struggles that each of us confront throughout every aspect of the life we are presently living is all authored by our own actions in our own past. And this is why Rabbi Ovadia Yosefan, the former chief rabbi of Israel, a religious scholar who was also the spiritual leader of the Shas party, made the statement that no innocent Jews died in the Holocaust. What Rabbi Yosefan said was that the 6 million Holocaust victims were reincarnations of the souls of sinners, people who transgressed and did all sorts of things that should not be done. Rabbi Yosefan explained that these souls who had previously lived lives of sin had been reincarnated in order to atone, see the chickens come home to roost. And in their ignorance of the laws, this is why Paul writes in warning to the entry-level Christian believers, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world. Call 2:8 NIV. Why? Because, once taken captive by a philosophy or religion as well as one's own actions or the actions of others that you support, you will remain imprisoned in that philosophy or religion perhaps over the course of eons of lifetimes, and when rightfully understood, this fact of the laws is the basis to what Jesus portrayed as a prison where he warned, thou shalt by no means come out from there till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing, Matt 5:26. On the website Divine Strategy, I present the example of the Reverend Jeremiah Wright, who blames the white race for all the evils that in his more distant past he has himself brought upon the congregation of his church, see Jeremiah Wright, and other African Americans. Those few who understand the laws understand that you become what you persecute, and often you become the victim of what you have yourself in your own past persecuted. Whether it be racial persecution, gender persecution, religious persecution, ideological persecution, or any other persecution that individual men and women experience and endure, it is therefore of the utmost importance to recognize that what has been presented in the example of Jeremiah Wright is equally true of all religious and political or philosophical leaders who teach their followers to blame others for the conditions of the person's own birth. In the case of Jeremiah Wright, each of the people in his congregation must eventually confront the reality that their soul is not black, that when they lived in the body of the white race, they inflicted great harm and distress upon the black race, and as African Americans, they were the cause of their own distress in this life. Often, the therapist or pop psychology self-help books that convey to a person a victimized mindset where all the blame is placed upon another individual or groups of people, the therapist in many instances is doing their patient even greater harm. In understanding the laws, Jesus taught that, as you do unto others, the same will be returned to you. But because the result of one's actions cannot be immediately experienced, often it requires a reversal of victim and aggressor in a future life that the soul lives. Under the subheading of the laws that perfect mankind on the Divine Strategy website, Jesus is quoted as stating, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's will, Matt 10:29 RSV. And until we come to understand that all of the events in the lives that people live in this world are all equally preordained, orchestrated by our own previous actions, then it will remain impossible for us to understand any aspect of the life that we are living and interacting with our brothers and sisters. President Barack Obama, who claims that the Reverend Jeremiah Wright was his spiritual guide, openly states that his objective is to bring about his vision of what he calls social justice. Like the Reverend Jim Wallace, see, has this man sold your soul to the devil? Barack Obama was raised in a socialist environment and is a Marxist in his thinking and vision of life. While Barack Obama credits Jeremiah Wright for his conversion to the belief in Jesus Christianity, the black liberation theology that is preached by the Reverend Wright is representative of a total perversion of the gospel message. While Barack Obama is a lawyer, in not understanding the organic laws of the earth, Barack Obama is attempting to lead the American people into a mindset and lifestyle that rejects the laws of God. Marxism fails, and even turns upon its own first principles, and imprisons the people, because it is based upon ignorance of the laws of God which control all events and people in this world. Like all elitists and dictators, Barack Obama has a God complex, and it can be said that he thinks he knows better than everyone else, and that he is in fact superior to others. Of Obama's spiritual mentor, I write on divine strategy. And if the Reverend Wright had anything in common with the teachings of Jesus, who taught to pray for those who persecute you, never returning evil for evil, forgiving those who would be indebted to you, they would be preaching forgiveness instead of the doctrine of racial hatred. And if Barack Obama was truly what he claims to be, that is, the one Messiah that was predicted to come, then he would teach the poor and disenfranchised how to live, in order to free them from the shackles of the laws which enslaves them and will continue to enslave them in future lifetimes. When quasi-religious or philosophical authorities attempt to answer the all-important question as to why is there evil in the world, it is man's absolute ignorance of the laws that inhibit him from answering this question of profound importance that shackles mankind to lives of extreme hardship and suffering. When Jesus states that not even a single sparrow can fall to the earth apart from the will of God, to ignore this statement and create carnal doctrines of belief in an attempt to explain this statement away so it makes sense to man's very limited perception and understanding, is truly a desperate act of man's philosophical folly. And to reject the wisdom of the scriptures, merely because in our condition of profound spiritual blindness, we lack the insight to understand what Jesus stated, represents the absolute epitome of man's ignorance. Quoting from the subheading "The Chickens Come Home to Roost on Divine Strategy," even as I have seen, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. Job 4, 8 NKJ. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way, and be filled to the full with their own fancies. Prov 131 NKJ. But you have planted wickedness, you have reaped evil, you have eaten the fruit of deception. Hosea 10:13 NIV. God will give to each person according to what he has done. Rom 2:6 NIV. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Gal 6:7-8 NIV. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Rev 13:9-10 NKJ. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made man. Gen 9:6 NIV. His disciples asked him, Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jn 9:2 NIV. It. Because certain New Testament teachings were removed by the pagan Church of Rome, modern Christians are at a total loss when they attempt to explain how the laws work in the life of man, and even the very reason why evil things seemingly happen to good people, or why a benevolent God ordains the good and evil that man is incapable of understanding. The God of the Old Testament proclaims with respect to the source of what man calls evil, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. Esau 45:7 NKJ. And in his ignorance of the laws, man condemns what he does not understand, and fails to understand the true source of what to his own demise he proclaims to be evil, that is, Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? Amos 3, 6KJV. Thus, there is nothing that exists in this world that has not been orchestrated by the laws of God, that is, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, Surely, as I have thought, so it shall come to pass, and as I have purposed, so it shall stand. Esau 14:24 NKJ. And until a man begins to understand the true source and purpose of what he calls evil, he cannot know anything of any true substance. If, as Jesus confirms, that not even a single sparrow can fall to the earth apart from the will of God, then the source and calamities of evil that befall mankind are the result of the laws that return to each person the fruit of their own previous actions. Thus, Jesus warns the man who he previously healed by making him whole, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. John 5:14 KJV. We must therefore ask, if our own actions can, and do cause, a worse thing to come unto us, how is this tribulation brought about? The answer is that there were laws put into action at the very beginning of creation which returns to each person the fruit of their own actions. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Gal 6:7 NIV. Without an enlightened understanding of the laws that orchestrate and bring all events about in this world, man continues to dwell in the abyss of profound ignorance. Further, it is because the people follow their religious, political, and philosophical leaders into hell. See why is there evil in the world? That they continue to invoke the very laws that bring great suffering upon them. But if we ask, what is the solution? Quoting divine strategy, and if the Reverend Wright had anything in common with the teachings of Jesus who taught to pray for those who persecute you, never returning evil for evil, forgiving those who would be indebted to you, they would be preaching forgiveness instead of the doctrine of racial hatred. Once properly understood in light of the genuine teachings of Jesus, what the Sermon on the Mount basically is a means for those imprisoned to get out of their self-imposed jail that is maintained by the laws. Till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing, Matt 5:26. But to release yourself from the laws that imprison you, you must once again re-enter the vibration of mind and reality that caused your imprisonment. If you are a thief, then you must see the error of your ways when you are either a thief or the victim of a thief when you pray for the soul of a thief. If you are a whore, a homosexual, a rapist, a murderer, or whatever in life is your cause of imprisonment, that is, see below, thou shalt by no means come out from there till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing, Matt 5:26. Then you can only free yourself when you are in one of the positive or negative cycles that hold you in the loop of action/reaction, cause and effect. Instead of preaching the hatred of homosexuals, the Reverend Phelps, see, should be praying for their redemption from the shackles that has caused these people to be born a homosexual. Pat Robertson and the late Jerry Falwell should have examined the flaws in the man-made doctrines they were preaching. Bill Clinton should have examined the folly of the Marxist secular progressive agenda that he and his wife Hillary have been trying to unleash upon the American people. And in the same way that the Reverend Wright was in all likelihood a white slave owner in the past, the Reverend Phelps was a homosexual. And because they have both rejected the wisdom of the teachings of Jesus which they claim to represent, each will again become what they persecute. Using a rapist as an example, a rapist will continue to loop in the positive and negative cycles of rapist and victim from life to life, until which time the rapist sees the error of his ways as a rapist, or prays and forgives a rapist as a victim of rape. Modern medical science has only now come to understand that behavior, even criminal behavior, is programmed into the DNA and genes of a person, and this programming is the laws which have brought the chickens home to roost in the life of every individual. And this is true of all the conditions of life that most people despise. In the above case of the Reverend Jeremiah Wright, his failure to repent from his own past as a white slave owner and the fact in the present, he blames the white race for his own evil that he perpetrated in his more distant past. His rejection of the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount will continue to hold him in the karmic loop maintained by the laws. Further, many of the congregation of believers who are praising his gospel of hatred that the Reverend Wright and others presently preach were the very Confederate soldiers who opposed and fought the Union armies. What this means is that what today is known as Black Liberation theology will continue to enslave these souls in the future, until they begin to embrace the spiritual concepts of the Sermon on the Mount and free themselves from the shackles of ignorance. The parable of the talents, even in what remains in the corrupted scriptures with many of the most important teachings and concepts either removed or distorted by the church, it can still be seen that Jesus taught that each person is born into this life in accord with their own past accomplishments. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Matt 25:15 NKJ. The key concept here is that each person in this world is not only entrusted with a different amount, but that each person is entrusted with an amount, each according to his own ability. What this means is that each and every person was born into this life, exactly as ordained for them in accord with their own past accomplishments. And those who find fault with their lot in life are in reality judging themselves. See a more in-depth presentation on the parable of the talents, a Christian blindness to the scriptures. It is interesting to note that the most popular and most used scripture of the earliest Gentile Christians was the Shepherd of Hermas, see Shepherd Intro, which was later suppressed by the Church of Rome because it was unacceptable from a pagan mindset and lifestyle. And in addition to revealing the threefold nature of the scriptures, see threefold, the understanding of caring for the poor, the widows and orphans that is not at all understood today, is presented in this important writing, see widows. The proper mindset with respect to the laws is expressed throughout the scriptures. The Ten Commandments thus state, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's." Exod 20:17 NKJ. Why? Because each man's life is the direct result of their own previous actions and accomplishments, and that they fail to remember these pre-existent actions is because they dwell in what Jesus portrayed as the outer darkness. And this is further confirmed in the Shepherd of Hermas, which commands, "The expenditure of the heathen then practice not, yea, for it is not convenient for you the servants of God, but practice your own expenditure, in which ye can rejoice, and do not corrupt, neither touch that which is another man's, nor lust after it, for it is wicked to lust after other men's possessions." Why? Why are we commanded to neither touch that which is another man's, nor lust after it, for it is wicked to lust after other men's possessions? By virtue of the laws that orchestrated and dictated every part of the life that every man, woman, and child is presently living, every person is at their present station in life, by virtue of the road they personally traveled to get there. The conditions of your birth, as well as the life you are living, has been brought about, orchestrated, and maintained by the laws of God, laws that ensure that each and every man reaps what he sows, Gal 6:7 NIV. And everything that exists not only exists for a higher reason, but has been brought about and is the direct result of pre-existing causal reasons, which have become manifest in order to bring about a preordained result. When you desire or lust after what the laws of God has provided for your neighbor or any other group of people, then you not only reject the hand of God that provided in accord with your own needs, but you have sinned against God because you reject his wisdom and what was provided for others.